Proverbs. We're continuing this morning our journey in the book of Proverbs. And I want to say this morning that I think Proverbs is an incredible book. Of all the books in the Bible, that there's something special, maybe unique about Proverbs. It's a very engaging book. It's not simply a set of rules, as we said before a number of times. In fact, if you read through Proverbs, you can read one chapter of Proverbs every day for a month. And as you read, if you do that, there's over 31 chapters, you get through it in a month. Obviously, there's 31 days in the month. As you read through, the thing that strikes you is every verse is about a different topic. It's almost like they're all jumbled up. The 900 Proverbs that are written down for us are all jumbled up. And I think maybe it's just to stop us trying to make rules out of these things. Because they're not rules. They're life, they're real life wisdom from heaven, living for God here on earth. And so it's well worth reading and rereading these Proverbs. Let them sink deep into our spirit. Because the book of Proverbs is about practical godly living. How to live for God in a practical way. And so there's something in there to help us in many different aspects. As we saw in that little video introduction, loads of different practical aspects of what it means living for God are in the book of Proverbs. Now today, we're going to look at what the book of Proverbs teaches us about money. And if there's any topic sure to terrify or depress, it's the topic of money. In fact, I don't think in all my years, my 21 years of preaching, that I have spoken about money. Because it's one of those things that sends shudders down one spine. But I want to reassure you today that my aim is not to do that. In fact, I'm going to start off this morning by giving you something. I'm going to give you some money. I am, Rowan. I'm going to give you some money. Well done. I'm going to give you some money. So, Ray, take one. Take one and pass it on. Now, these are real, real money. It's not Monopoly money. No, it's my money. It's not the church's money. It's Barbara's money. No. Now, I want to give you something today. I've washed them, by the way. If you're the sort of person that doesn't like to touch dirty coins, I have washed them. So they are clean. Rob's taking more than one. I want to give you today, I don't want it to be a gimmick. I'm not being patronizing by giving you £1. But it's a token. And I want what we talk about this morning to be memorable. At the very least, you can say at work on Monday, guess what happened on church? The preacher gave me some money. But I want it to be more than that, because there's something we're going to look at today during the talk. It's a visual aid. What I've given you is a visual aid. It's yours to keep. I'm not going to ask for it back at the end. Imagine for a moment that pound is a token. That pound represents all the money that you get in a week, or all the money you get in a month. Depends how you receive your money, or fortnight. However you receive your money, wherever it comes from, imagine that is a token, is a representation of what you receive. We're going to see this pound coin appear three times today into talk, so watch out for those three occasions. But before we start, a quiz. How many of these everyday sayings about money have you heard, or even have you used? First one, Joe, please. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Next one, a penny saved is a penny earned. Beggars can't be choosers. Better safe than sorry. Cut your coat according to your cloth. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Easy come, easy go. He who pays the piper calls the tune. If you don't speculate, you can't accumulate. If you look after the pennies, the pounds will look after themselves. Lend your money and lose a friend. Let the buyer beware. Money doesn't go on trees. Money isn't everything. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. The best things in life are free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Time is money. Waste not, want not. You can't take it with you when you go. You pays your money and you takes your choice. Those are everyday sayings about money. Most of us will have heard most of them. In fact, most of them will have said some of those things as kind of worldly wisdom. And they're not in the Bible. They're not from the book of Proverbs. They're worldly wisdom. This morning, we're going to look at godly wisdom. We're going to look at the Proverbs, book of Proverbs. We're going to look at wisdom from heaven for handling something which is very kind of earthy. In fact, there was one saying there that that was maybe missing. And I took it out, actually, that list, because it's a saying that you may have heard, the money is the root of all evil. And that was originally in that list. I just got that list from a kind of list of sayings, of general sayings. Actually, the saying money is the root of all evil is in the Bible. And it's quoted. People quote it as kind of summing up the sort of thing about money, the thing potential evil is in money. Actually, of course, money is the root of all evil is a part quote. It's missing off the first bit, because actually the thing that Paul said in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says the love of money. It's the love of money. Often it's misquoted as though money itself is evil. And money isn't evil. There's something in money which is very powerful, yes, but money itself isn't evil. However, the love of money, an attitude towards it, can be very seriously wrong. Solomon writing, he wrote the book of Proverbs, he also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He says this in Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. See, money is one of the most powerful things on this planet. It's amazing what some people will do for money. Also, it's shocking how some people are forced to live because of lack of money. Recognize we live in a tremendous privileged position in this country. As we're talking about money, we've got to start off with recognizing our hearts have to come to God with thankfulness. Whether you've got a little, whether you think you've got a little or a lot, that compared to so many, many people, we have so much. In your hand, I gave you a pound. Roughly speaking, 1 billion people, 1 billion people today are living on that pound. That's the pound. That's what they got for today. For today, that's what they've got to spend. Roughly 1 billion people. How much privilege do we have in terms of living in the West and the incredible wealth we have relative to so many? So we've got to start off today. I'm going to mention things about poverty a little bit later on. But I want us to start off today just with really recognizing, God, I'm so grateful for your incredible blessing and goodness. In that living in this land, that God has blessed and is blessing us so, so much. Let's pray today and ask for God's help as we look in this topic of money. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing provision, your amazing blessing. Lord, we recognize we're privileged. We recognize, Lord, we're those who have so much compared to so many people. And Lord, we want to say thank you. Want to ask today, Lord, would you breed in us a heart of thankfulness? Will we always turn to you every day, blessing you for your provision in our lives? Lord, would our hearts be filled with thanksgiving for all your goodness and blessing towards us, Lord. Father, would you help us today? Give us wisdom as we look at this topic of money. Would you speak and teach whatever, as individuals, what we need to hear today? Would you please speak into my heart and our hearts, Lord? Amen. Book of Proverbs has got, out of 900, it's got 85 references, either direct or indirect references to money. Big topic money in the book of Proverbs. Do you know that Jesus talked more about money than any other subject apart from the kingdom of God? In terms of practical things, obviously the kingdom of God, he's talking about spiritual things. But in terms of practical, everyday things that are around us, the number one topic he talked about was money. A third of Jesus' parables talk about money. In the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, one in every seven verses is about money. Money is a big thing in the Bible. And one of the reasons for that is it's got potential to either bless our lives or curse our lives. It's got the potential to either be a tremendous blessing or be a horrendous ruin and curse upon us. Personally, just be honest and personal, I've been through three phases in my life. One phase where I had a good job, I had low rent, I had no dependents, and I never needed to look in my bank account because I just got a lot of money every month and I never needed to worry about how much money there was in my account. That was quite a short phase of my life. I had another phase of my life where I had very little income and I literally was grateful for every biscuit. It was a struggle to make ends meet. I ran out of petrol on the motorway because I didn't have any money for petrol. I ran out of food. I even remember walking the streets looking for money to get some money to go and buy something to eat. Been in different phases. The phase that I'm in now is I have to budget because there's demands, the income that I get, there's demands on that income. And so I have to manage those kind of demands. Now, for us here, I guess all of us are in one of those three phases. You've either got so much money you don't need to look in your bank account, or it's a struggle, or you're looking to budget each month for what comes in and what goes out. I want to say that the emphasis in the Old Testament, as we read through the Old Testament, it writes about money. It writes about financial blessing as being blessing from God. The emphasis in the New Testament changes in that primarily that the blessing from God is a spiritual thing, but that doesn't negate the fact, I believe, that God does want to bless us in practical ways. Many of us here have experienced God's wonderful blessing in practical things that have happened in our lives. And God's shown us many times the fact that he does want to bless us. A few years ago, I remember as God spoke to me, impressed upon me on one Sunday morning to give someone in the church £20. It just came an impression to give some money to someone. I thought this is what God's saying, so I did it. And then later the same day, someone else in the church, unrelated, gave me £40. The thing is, it doesn't always work like that. This isn't like some kind of casino where you put your money in and you double it by the end of the day. Of course not, because actually the emphasis in the New Testament is on the spiritual blessings that we receive. But nevertheless, that doesn't negate the fact that I believe God does want to bless our lives. Now, I've given you a pound. And the reason why I've given you a pound is I want to say this. There's three things you can do with that pound. There's three, if it represents the money that you receive, money that you get from wherever you get your money, there's three things you could do. Firstly, you could give it to God. Now, this talk isn't about giving, but there's a couple of things I just wanted to say is that in the Old Testament, that the giving to God by the people of God was prescribed a fixed percentage at a fixed time. It was a law. It was a prescription of how much to give and when to give. In the New Testament, it's a heart thing. It's something that I give between me and God. It's something that I give as God speaks to my life, as I seek God, as I say, God, what do you want me to give? Then I give back to God in response to what he shows me how much to give. And a couple of things it shows in the New Testament. Firstly, regular giving. Secondly, a percentage of my income. What that percentage is a personal thing. And we don't have any rules in the church. There's not a certain thing you've got to do this or this or this. Because it's something where as I seek God, and as I bring my finances to God, I say, God, what do you want me to give in terms of back to you? Show me what it is you want me to give. I spoke to someone, it's quite a long time ago now, and they shared their wisdom for finances. And they said, this is what they recommend to other people. They said that they gave God 10%, they saved 10%, and then they lived on the remaining 80%. Nothing magic in those figures. That was what they said. That was their kind of wisdom. And I've thought about that a number of times over the years. Because it's, although it's not, the percentage is a personal thing, and it's something that I seek God and say, God, what do you want me, with all that you've given me, what do you want me to give? But Proverbs helps us in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 straight away with this topic. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Give to God out of what he gives you. As God blesses me, give God back. And it says here, important thing in Proverbs, the advice of Proverbs, the first fruit, the best bits, the bits before it all kind of gets used up. Give God the first fruit of your crops. And then there's a promise. Now, in Proverbs, there's very few promises. Most of Proverbs is wisdom. If you do this, this happens. If you do this, this happens. It's kind of looking, balancing up what it says. But this is a promise. Then your barns will be overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine. It's a promise for God's blessing. And I think that God is, what Solomon is saying here is that God wants me to bring my best to God. Recently, just been a wonderful privilege of going to Israel. And whilst I was in Israel, we saw an olive press that was be used. It was a reconstruction of an olive press that was used at the time of Jesus, in these ancient times. And they, first of all, ground the olives, and it grinds the olives and the pips and pits in the middle. And then that kind of mush is then put in these bags, and the bags are pressed three times. It was pressed three times. The first pressing was for God. So when they got the olives and they'd squashed them down, they put them in the bags, the first time they pressed, the oil that came out, the olive oil that came out was the best. And they gave that to God. They took it to the temple. It was for God. God gets the best. The second pressing was for them to use for food and for their own personal use. And the third pressing was just to use for lighting and for things like that. But the point was that it's a very clear picture of God. You get the first, God, you get the best. And so it's practically, what that means for me, what that means for you, is that when I receive my money beginning of the month, when I receive my money beginning of the week, or every two, whenever it is, actually, God, what do you want? God, what do you want me to give back to you? How can I honor you? How can I give back to you? You've blessed me with all this. How much and how can I give back to you? What do you want me to do? God gets the first and the best. That's the first thing, giving to God. Second thing you could do with your pound is you could save it, as that guy I talked about mentioned. In Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11, we see this proverb, and here the writer is talking about how amazing an ant is and what these ants get up to. Incredible. One of the things it says, joke about the back up, it says, go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provision in summer and gathers its food in harvest. See, the writer of the Proverbs is wanting us to learn from nature that the seasons, and that it's important to save here for the ant so that during winter time, during springtime, it has something to live on. And I think saving is important. Firstly, because there are times when we don't have money. There are times when we do have money. Maybe that could be the end of the month, end of the week, end of the fortnight. Actually, saving is important because things, just practically, things in our life wear out. It's no good waiting until the freezer breaks down or the washing machine packs in to start thinking about saving. But it's wise, as Proverbs 13:11 says, he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. And actually, an important part of managing my money is saving. So I've got the capital needed for things when I need to buy things. But secondly, the other important reason I suggest for saving is so that I have money available so that when God speaks to me to give a sum of money to something, whatever that is, beyond my regular giving, I've got finances ready to do that. Just a personal testimony. Years ago, I wanted a car. I was saving up for a car. And as I was saving, the amount in the bank, my savings account got to a certain level. When it got to that certain level, I thought, that's enough to buy a car. God spoke to me at that point and told me to give it all away. And so it's one of some of those, so when you feel that sort of thing, you just want to check it out and make sure it really, really is what God's saying. So I didn't immediately do that. But very clearly, I knew God was saying to give that money for God's work. And so I got my checkbook out. I can even remember, it shows how shocking it was. I can remember getting my checkbook out. And as I wrote that check, it was a bit of a struggle, to be honest. Because I think, well, I've earned this. I've worked hard for this. And it'd be great to have whatever it was. But it was clear God was saying to give that money away. As I put the pen to the paper, something changed in my heart. Something changed inside me as I wrote the details of that check and tore the check out of the checkbook. Something changed. Now, I'm not putting myself forward and saying, because God's still changed me. There's a work going on. There's a work in my heart going on. But something changed inside, and I feel that if we don't save, we haven't got then the ability to be able to bless whatever God wants to do, whether it's to help with relief, with a disaster relief in a country, whether it's to help with a friend or a brother or a sister in church, whether it's to give to a particular mission thing, whatever it is, if I haven't got it, I might want to give, but if I've not got the cash, I can't give. And so there's a place under God to save. There's a difference between saving and hoarding. Scripture says this in Proverbs 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Matthew 6:19. Don't store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. There's a difference between saving and hoarding. Saving is prudent. Saving is preparing for the things that come in the future. Hoarding is trying to get rich. Two things. We can give our pound. We can save our pound. Thirdly, we can spend our pound. Now, actually, when it comes to spending, I want to suggest this morning, actually, there are three things you could spend your pound on. Firstly, you could spend your pound on the poor. Before I think about me, I think it's important to think I could spend some of my money on the poor. Usually that means the poor in other countries. Obviously, there are poor people in this country. But relatively speaking, obviously, there's a huge, huge need. And actually, some of the money I would spend on myself, I could spend on the poor. Amazing verse in Proverbs 19:17. Look what it says. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. There's a reward for giving to the poor. And it's seen there in this amazing way as lending to God. What an amazing thing. And of course, right now, David Abbott is in India, and he's taken the money that we collected at the carol service. It takes these months for him to get out to India. He practically takes it, so there's no risk of it getting stuck in some bank in the back end of nowhere. But he physically takes the money in dollars and goes, and he's buying mattresses for these kids in this orphanage. In India, he's buying the mattresses, he's buying the pillow. It's a wonderful, practical blessing. And it's something that out of the money that I've got to spend, it's a question, what can I spend on the poor? And then as well as spending on the poor, one of the emphases in the New Testament is actually spending on other brothers and sisters in the church. Isn't that actually having a heart that I want to bless you? Having a heart that I want to spend my money, I'm not talking about whatever percentage we have put aside for God, I'm talking about my money, spend my money on blessing you. Do you know that there's this wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians 8, I'm not going to look at it now, but it's a long passage where Paul commends the Corinthian church because they gave beyond their means. They didn't just give, okay, we can give a little bit. They gave way beyond their means because in their heart was a desire to bless other Christians. And the Christians in one city were suffering, and so they gave out of their own spending money, as it were, that money could be sent to bless their brothers and sisters in another city. I want to suggest today that it's a tremendous blessing to be able to spend money on each other, to be able to spend some of my money on you. Do you know that I want to suggest today that there's actually spending something that costs me is very important. Because if it doesn't cost me, then there's nothing generous and there's nothing overflowing about it. There's this amazing passage I've thought about a number of times in 1 Chronicles where David goes to Arunah, the Jebusite, and wants to buy an area of ground called the threshing floor. And the guy says to him, Arunah says, look, no, you can have it. Because God's told David to build an altar of sacrifice there for God. And David says this amazing thing in 1 Chronicles 21:24. He says this, I'm going to buy it at the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. David's heart was that in terms of his giving, in terms of what actually he gives, it's got to actually cost him something. And when it comes to our sharing with each other, it's a wonderful blessing that I can give out of what I have to spend. I could give some of that to bless you. I could give some of that to bless you. That we could bless each other with our money. We could spend on each other. Do you know what Jesus said? Incredible words, which one of those things that are very hard to kind of appreciate these words. In Acts 20:35, Jesus said, It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if you've ever received money from somebody or an inheritance, or someone's just given you some money, or someone's just put a £10 note in your under the mat, or whatever, if you've ever received, it's a phenomenal blessing to receive. It's wonderful to receive. It's a fantastic blessing to receive. When I've received money, or I've received something from someone else, I'm so blessed. But Jesus said, it's even more blessed to give. The thing about giving is what it does is it does something to me on the inside. All of us have the propensity to be greedy. All of us have the propensity to love money. You don't have to be rich to love money. In fact, it could be more of an issue for someone who hasn't got much than someone who's got a lot, actually. There's something in us, there's something in the fallen human heart which very, very easily loves money. And there's something powerful about giving that breaks that. There's something very, very powerful. It snaps, it breaks down, it tears that selfishness inside me. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, finally, spending on yourself. Okay, after we've given, we've saved, we've spent on the poor, we've spent on each other, spend on myself. Good news is 1 Timothy 6:17. Big amen for this verse. God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants to bless your life. God wants to pour blessings and for us to enjoy. What sort of things do you enjoy? What sort of things do you enjoy buying? It's funny, actually, because I was reading yesterday in the Times, I was reading an interview with the Olympic gold medalist, Jessica Ennis. And she said, they could ask her these questions about what she was looking forward to now she finished all this. She said, now I've finished, I've sacrificed so much, I've given so much. Our last question was this, what are you going to do now? What are you looking forward to? How are you going to celebrate? She said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy the biggest, best handbag you have seen. Obviously for her, there's a few amens. There's something about, but it may not be a handbag for you. But whatever it is, God wants to bless our lives. And I think that's the thing I want us to kind of grasp to today, is God does want to bless. And I believe as a church, as his body, as believers, as we get in step with Jesus more and more, as I get in the rhythm of what God's doing, actually, as I give to God, as I give to the poor, as I save, as I give to other believers, actually, God pours in and pours in and pours in and multiplies in so many incredible ways that actually God provides everything for our enjoyment. And some of those things are spiritual things, absolutely. But that doesn't negate the fact that God wants to bless us. Bless us now. And so we can look to him. When we come to our spending, when we're going to go say, right, now's the time, I'm going to go out and get that handbag or whatever it is. A word of caution from Proverbs. Actually, I've got to be careful I'm spending my money and not other people's money. Because Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is servant to the lender. So if I'm spending someone else's money, the bank's money, credit card company's money, whoever's money I'm spending, if I'm spending someone else's money, I'm not spending my money, I'm spending someone else's money. And the danger is that I become servant to the lender. And so the warning of Proverbs is be careful. Romans 13:8, Paul tells us there, let no debt remain outstanding. Debt is, there's the facets of debt in the society we live. It's very hard in our society with so many pressures and there's so many things that we need to buy and need to have. And it's not an easy thing. What Paul's saying here is try to get out of debt. Try to minimize debt. Try to work your way towards being debt free. Because the problem is, if I'm in debt, I then am servant to whoever it is. And if they call in the loan, if they want their money back, that I'm not free. And if I'm in debt today and God tells me to go and serve him abroad or serve him and do whatever he wants me to do, I can't if I'm in debt. And so actually to work as far as possible towards being debt free is what Paul's encouraging us here in Romans 13:8. Now, I realize that for many of us, there are issues in this area of finances that we struggle with. And so please today, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or trying to burden you. What I want to say about debt, though, is debt doesn't go away. I can't put my head in the sand and pretend it won't be there in the morning, because debt is something very powerful that goes on and on and on. The first step is facing it. And the first step is asking another Christian to stand with me in prayer and support and encouragement and emotional support. Thankfully, here in Camden, we've got a Christian debt service. We've got CAP, Christians Against Poverty. They've got a debt counseling and practical help service. I can recommend, if there is any issues in my life, if it does seem like I face a mountain, then there's practical help here in London available to help us take any steps we need to take. But this morning, I want us to remember the big picture. The big picture is this. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says this, what do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it from an employee, from your customers, from the government, however you've received your money, wherever it comes from, at the end of the day, we've received it from God. Wherever it comes from God. And as the parable of talent shows us, Jesus says this parable of the talents, where each person is given by the master an amount, and the master goes away and the master comes back, and the master says, what did you do with what I gave you? And so it is, in a sense, money is a serious issue, because what I've been given, however I've been given it, and from whatever I've been given it, I am held accountable to God for what I do with it. It's a personal thing. It's between you, it's between me and God. And that's why today I say we need to pray. God, would you give me wisdom? God, would you give me grace and strength? I want to encourage you to link prayer and money together. I found sometimes as I've been praying, God's impressed on my heart to give something. Other times, as I've been praying about a personal need, then God has moved and met that practical need. I want us today not to see our spiritual prayer life over there and my practical finances here, but actually to see that they're together. And I know many of us here have got testimonies as how we've prayed and God has helped and God has come. But I want to encourage us more and more. In one sense, there's nothing too small. There's nothing too small to say, God, would you please help me with this? Would you please come? Even the pound I've given you. It's a token. What are you going to do with it? We're going to let Proverbs have the last word today. Proverbs 30, verse 7 to 9 says this. Two things I ask, Lord. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And so just to grab that little phrase out of there. God, would you give me my daily bread? God, would you give me what I need today? God, what I need for today, would you provide? Help me, Lord, to be open to what you want me to do with the resources that you've given me. Let's close our eyes and let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for your amazing blessing to each one of us, Lord, and we have received so much. We are privileged, we are blessed. Thank you, Lord. God, today I want to ask that you would help each one of us grow in wisdom in this area. Lord, we come to you asking in humility for heavenly wisdom. Lord, we don't want, Lord, just to rely on our own intuition, our own understanding, our own intelligence. Lord, we want to ask, would you take control of our finances? Help us, Lord. Help us. Father, we pray, would you impress on our hearts what to give to you, how to save, how to bless and spend on the poor, spend on each other, and how to manage our money, Lord, in a way that honors you. Lord, we need your help. If you've just got that pound in your hand, just grip that pound for a moment. Father, just as this token, it's only a pound. And yet it represents what we receive this month, what we receive this week or fortnight. It represents what we receive. None of us here have done anything to earn that pound, Lord. It comes from you. And so, Lord, would you please, please be Lord of our finances? Would you be in charge of our money? Your will be done, your kingdom come in this practical area. Father, I just want to ask anyone that's struggling with financial difficulties, Lord, would you meet their need? I'm asking, Lord, would you please bless and provide, and would you pour out your resources, God, wherever there is need and financial struggle, God, would you help? Lord, our eyes look to you.